Hey, everybody. Welcome to Mooncast. I'm Hector Real, along with Ben Wetzel.
Hey.
We are professional designers with over 20 years of experience, and we aim to help you with your creative endeavors. Hey, Ben.
Hey.
How was your weekend?
Pretty good. Yeah.
I like how you said pretty good and then yeah.
I had to like actually really think about what I did.
Well, mostly because it's freaking Thursday.
That's right. So I'm like, when was the weekend? And then exactly what was it
that
happened?
That would be before Monday.
Yeah. Oh, I did a show with So it's usually my troupe on like in February, we have a bunch of special guests come in.
Okay, I'm going to stop you right there. If you didn't know, Ben has another side gig. And what is that, Ben? What do you do?
I am an improv comedian.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, so Februarys are usually like our special guest month. So we had a bunch of guys that have been coming in and doing special performances with us all month long. And I got to do a show with a international hip hop star called Afro. I believe his real name is James. And I had a lot of fun.
That sounds dope.
Yeah, he's like this really pretty well known up and coming hip hop star.
Okay,
I think he said something about. Well, he said something about releasing his full, like a full album this year. Right. It sounded like it was, it sounded like it's his first full album.
Okay.
But he's been touring for several years already.
Damn.
And he's been on like the Queen Latifah show and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
So he's like, people know who he is, and he's pretty dang good at hip hop. I mean, he knows how to rhyme and flow really well. And
he was part of the show was performing with you guys alongside you guys?
Yeah, he has, you know, live performance experience and he was more than happy to join us.
Yep.
So he actually got to come up on stage and he was a player just like everybody else.
And you know what?
And he did improv. I actually was in a really funny scene with him. We were somehow survived the apocalypse and were eating Twinkies together. It was actually really funny.
That sounds like a euphemism.
No, it was not a euphemism. The Twinkie God came and visited us, and she bestowed us with more Twinkies and her anger.
I mean, that's usually how it happens.
Yeah,
For sure. That's what it says in my encyclopedia.
Yeah.
Does anybody know what an encyclopedia is?
Probably not. It's that series of books at the library.
It's Wikipedia's older brother.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that actually brings us to some good stuff. So, I guess I should probably say this. Apologize for not having more episodes. As I've said in the previous episode, that we haven't recorded anything because between September, November, and January is the busiest time of the year for our design firm side of the business, and we're usually booked with a lot of projects. And oddly enough, even after the CES show, which is the reason why we were so busy, is because of CES, even after that, we still had a bunch of other projects and tasks to finish out.
Yeah, we really did.
Yeah, and this is the first time we've had a chance to sit down and record anything.
Yeah.
And in addition to that, I actually had to move. I didn't move very far. I'm still in the same city. I'm still in North Hollywood, but I moved to a different complex that has a lot of the amenities, and that's what I did this weekend. So I didn't do anything fun. I didn't do any improv with any hip hop stars or anything like that. Ben, so thanks for rubbing my face.
No problem. Anytime.
But here's what I do want to say. Ben had decided that he's not going to have energy drinks for 2020. Okay. Here's the thing. Ben and I freaking love energy drinks.
All the time.
We're just like constantly texting each other just to be like, hey, have you tried this flavor? Have you tried that flavor? No, that tastes like ass. But if you're really tired, you know, whatever. But we always like talk about energy drinks. And so he decided that he would not want to do energy drinks for 2020. And guess what happened? relatively recently, and literally another one like maybe 20 minutes ago. Tell us, Ben, what happened?
Well, like in January, Coca-Cola did this big ad campaign push for their new energy drink. So now Coca-Cola has like three new energy drinks that are Coca-Cola branded energy drinks with, and they all have a different flavor.
And you can't have any.
And I can't have those.
And here's the thing. What happened 20 minutes ago?
Oh, yeah. My friend sent me an image, a very simple image, and it had a Mountain Dew thing on it. And apparently KFC and
KFC
Mountain Dew.
Energy drinks.
Yeah, KFC and Mountain Dew are doing some sort of crazy cross promotion, and they made a specific flavor of Mountain Dew that is only available at KFC.
What?
And it's called Sweet Lightning, and it's fucking peach sweet tea and honey flavored Mountain Dew. And I'm freaking out right now.
That sounds disgusting, and I really want to try it.
To me, it sounds like the nectar of the gods, and I really want to try it.
I don't know what the nectar of the gods tastes like, but if I were to guess,
it's obviously peach tea and honey.
I don't know why I like energy drinks. I'm old enough to basically remember when Red Bull first came out, and I travel enough outside of the country to where like I've gone to Thailand and I've drank literal bottles, like glass bottles with a Red Bull logo on it. It's all in Thai, so I couldn't read it, but it's exactly like the Red Bull logo. And then I'm told that it was actually where Red Bull started before they were all bought out and have become a giant company. They had this little bottle thing. It literally looks like a like an old school like brown pill bottle,
mm-hmm.
but like it's maybe 4 inches in height. You know, it looks like a medicine bottle,
right?
And if you drink it, it's got a ton of sugar.
Yeah.
Like, and I was like, okay, it probably has caffeine and sugar. And, you know, obviously after I assume they were bought out, or at least the formula was bought out that later became Red Bull. But that's always real interesting. So I kind of want to do this. I know we're pushing this segment pretty long today, but here's an idea that I just got.
Okay.
We're going to do reactionary videos of me tasting energy drinks in front of Ben.
That's brutal.
That is not brutal. You brought this upon yourself, sir.
No.
You brought this upon yourself.
Sounds good.
We're going to break Ben is what I said. I give it like maybe 3 weeks maximum.
It's already the end of February. I've made it this far.
Oh, well, you know, you're not going to have all the drinks. And after that, I'm going to take a sip because I like the taste of it, but I don't drink a lot of volume of energy drinks. My limit is like one for like the entire day, but usually I drink half of the can. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a sip and I'm going to dump it in front of you.
Just down the drain.
Exactly. This one is for the homies that can't taste it.
I'm right here, dude. I can see you tasting.
So idea, that sounds awesome. And that sounds like fun as hell.
Yeah.
Gotta do that. Write that down.
All right.
All right. So, well, that kind of brings us into another, helps us segue into another part. And the main part of the show is essentially as a designer or even an entrepreneur, you know, whatever you do, there's always new information to be had through experience. And
yeah.
What I mean by that is what Ben and I were talking about was essentially we're both designers. We both do industrial design. I've got a lot of experience in automotive design, and Ben has a lot of experience in illustration and graphics and stuff like that. So we got into talking about, well, we didn't just learn our skills and our style because of the fact that we just utilize what we learned in school. It's not always that. There's a lot of other places where we learn. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So like
all over the place. Even the little hobbies that you have, and you should have hobbies.
I mean, the biggest thing is your performing, right? Your improv stuff.
Sure.
It's not necessarily graphic design, but it's still creative. It's still an outlet. And I'm sure that you've used some knowledge from that and put it into a bunch of your designs, whether you know it or not.
I mean, it even helps with the business side of things.
Right. Exactly.
It improves communication. It improves sociability.
Mm-hmm.
You're able to read read a room. You know, people talk about coming into a conference or a meeting and being able to read the room,
quote unquote.
And like, I can sort of see that better now. I mean,
well, you know what? I'm going to stop you there. And the reason why I am is because there's something you said that's really important. And it is a stereotype of creatives and artists, but you know, there's a lot of truth aspects to it. A lot of creatives and a lot of artists are, they don't, they're, a lot of them are introverts.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm one. I get it.
Right. But you're trained to not become one all the time.
Yeah. I can turn it on and turn it off.
And a lot of that, from based on what you just said, is because of improv stuff.
Yeah. Like 90% of it is because of that.
So a lot of Ben's function, in addition to being one of my designers, is that he also does a lot of project management, which means that he communicates a lot with the clients. He communicates a lot with our partners overseas. And he does a lot of talking and a lot of phone calls and things like that, especially if I'm traveling and I'm on an airplane and I can't do it myself. Like the last time I was in Manila for meetings, Ben set up all my meetings. And right when I landed, I basically took a nap, and the next day I was off to my meetings because it was already set up. So that's really important, and not just as a designer, but as on the business side of design. I'd talked about this in another podcast where a friend of mine, Pete, had talked about soft skills. I've never heard of this phrase before, but
I like that. Yeah,
essentially, it's people skills.
Sure.
So, and that's really important because not only are we just designers,
right?
But we have to communicate not just visually, but not everybody communicates visually. You're going to have to speak to a CEO or a VP or an EVP or a COO who doesn't know anything about art or design, but you have to communicate your idea to them because they're going to have to approve it before it continues.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you land your amazing design job and, you know, you're in a huge studio. So a lot of people are going to be designing the same thing. So bam, guess what? Your design gets picked. And now you have to go and basically back up your ideas, but you're not ready because you're an introvert. And now you're going to be talking to like the creative director of your studio, or even worse, the CEO or CFO.
Right.
And you're basically going to have to explain why you did what you did and why you think your solution is the best. You know, God help you. What are you going to do if you can't talk to people?
And I've seen it a lot of times, and I've seen it in other teams and other studios, is that there's usually two or three designs that are pretty comparable. They're all really good designs. You can go one way or the other.
Yeah.
The person who always wins is the guy who can communicate his ideas in addition to the visual way of communicating, just talking about it, explaining things. A lot of times it's because they have a business plan. Nobody ever thought about that.
Oh man. You know, yeah, that's some ammo.
Right. So there's a lot there. So you have to be able to speak the same language, not just literally, but also speak to the thoughts. And like you said, it's a good word, the design solution that you're trying to propose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, design is a solution. So if you're the one that's problem solving, you better be able to show your work, right?
Exactly.
It's like math all over again in high school and middle school.
And everybody can relate to that because it's not the most fun part of anything.
I mean, I like it now. I mean,
exactly. Yeah. Now that it makes sense, I like it. But when it didn't make sense to me,
it's awful.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't get it. I just don't get it.
Yeah. But
you know, as you become a better designer, you learn these things. And honestly, piggybacking off of what Ben has said, improv classes are almost everywhere these days. We're in LA. We're in Hollywood. So obviously it's like
California. There's
30 up the street.
It's a little weighted over here.
Right. But if you can, or even there are clubs and whatnot elsewhere, but if you can join these improv classes, and I don't know that they're that expensive. I don't think so.
It really depends.
Right.
So some of them you have to pay to join the troupe.
Right.
Most of them are like that.
But I think from what I understand, when in a completely different life, when I was doing commercials,
sure.
Basically they had levels.
Yes.
So they're just like, there's levels like, I just want to be a better speaker. I just want to be more comfortable around people. There's that level. And there's the stuff that you do, which is like performing in front of a bunch of people.
Yeah. I mean, almost any big troupe, especially if they have their own theater, they have a Monday night drop-in where it's, you know, like 2 to 3 hours, and there's an instructor and you just pay the $10 to $20 and you get those 2 to 3 hours of essentially training, professional training. And that's how I started. Yep. And that's how most people start. I mean, not everybody, but yeah, it's a great place to build groundwork.
Yeah. So, I mean, so the point is that Ben has a different outlet where he learns other skills, not just drawing stuff, which is also great, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, that's super helpful as right. well.
But design, and I always say this, is that design is not a job. It's a lifestyle.
Right.
You know, it's you. You're not done designing between 9 to 5. It's not just because, you know, you can draw all the time, which is great. Always draw.
Sure.
But designing doesn't stop during work hours. You continue to design whether you're putting it on paper or not. I mean, it's good if you put it down on paper, but a lot of times you're just thinking of solutions.
Yeah.
You could be driving, you could be trying to solve a problem, whether you realize it or not. I like to do it because I think it's fun. Like when I used to commute to college, when I used to live in Palmdale, shout out to my Palmdale people. For those of you who aren't in Southern California, Palmdale is like 78 miles north of Los Angeles. So it's essentially in the mountains. There's a small ski resort there called Mountain High, where I grew up. And I would have to drive to Los Angeles or to Pasadena to go to school. So I'd be in the car all the time.
Brutal.
Yeah. So obviously it's Los Angeles, right? So there's a lot of traffic. So while I'm sitting in traffic, I looked around my car a lot. And I looked at like dials, where can this dial be better placed? Where can this knob be better placed? What if cruise control worked this way? Or what if these mirrors were cameras or whatever else? So I was constantly thinking, and it wasn't a burden or anything because I kind of enjoyed it. So the point is that you should be able to find skills outside of strictly designing and drawing outside of your normal day to day. And find other skills that you might enjoy, like Ben does improv, mm-hmm. and use those skills that you learn from that and bring it into design. You know, and that's not that difficult because, like you said, not only does it help you in design, it helps you with and dealing with people. So for me, I'm actually, I'm a hang glider pilot. So I fly hang gliders off of mountains, and it's a hobby that I have that I really like doing. So I do this every weekend and I fly every weekend. And not that it doesn't have anything to do with product design. There's a lot of design into it. And I was speaking with one of the other pilots I was flying with, and he's an engineer from JPL. And I said something wrong and he corrected me very quickly. And he's absolutely right. I said, these hang gliders are, there's not a lot of moving parts. Yet it flies perfectly well. It's easy and it's fun. And then I said, it's kind of simple in a way. And he stopped me right there. And he said, it's elegant. And I was like, you're absolutely right. Absolutely right. He was absolutely right.
Sure.
I said, I described it. Simple was not the proper word to describe a hang glider because it's a flying machine. It's an aircraft. And the reason why simple isn't the way to explain it is because a hang glider, if you don't know what it is, look it up. It's basically a delta-shaped wing, and we hang from the bottom of it, hence its name, hang glider, and we fly it. But there are no moving parts. So,
yeah,
you know, on an airplane, you see flaps, you see ailerons moving around. When it turns, you see things moving around on the surface of the wings.
Not to mention the turbine constantly spinning.
Right. Exactly. I don't have an engine and I don't have any moving parts. Essentially, the wing is maneuvered depending on where I put my weight. So if I want to go right, I shift my body right and it rolls right. So stuff like that. What I'm trying to get at is that it's got a lot of design elements to it that I didn't realize until I became a pilot. Until I learned how to fly these things where it does a lot of complicated things. I just can't see it. So now, you know, I'm looking at structure. I'm looking at material. There's a certain aluminum that they use for this particular wing construction.
Mm.
Now, yeah. The wing is really strong. It has a G loading. Essentially, you can put 6 Gs of stress on this aircraft. A lot of regular aircraft, I believe Cessnas, are about 4 Gs. Negative G the other way is about 3 Gs. It's just still pretty good, but essentially it's really strong. And that's because of the type of aluminum they use. It's obviously an aircraft grade aluminum, but it's very light and very stiff.
Okay.
So there's stuff like that. There's cables that that run across the wings. So when I turn, yes, there aren't any moving surfaces, but it slacks one side of the wing and tightens the other side of the wing that helps them maneuver left to right. So there's a lot of design aspects in this that I didn't know about that now that I've been doing this a long time, I implemented into my own designs. You know, does everything have to have a moving part and still function well? No, not necessarily. If I just design it properly, you can have kind of a design that's static and still look and function really well, almost as well, or even in some cases better than designs that have moving parts.
Yeah. Well, and then I think we should add that, you know, since this is one of your hobbies and since you're a automotive and industrial designer, what else is it doing to help you with your job, essentially? Because we talked a little bit about products in the industry, and you've mentioned some things about those.
Well, you know what? I guess, so the ironic part about this is that I hate heights. I absolutely hate heights. On my first solo flight, meaning that I didn't have an instructor attached to me.
Yeah.
Basically, it was all me. My very first one, I jumped off of 3,540 feet. And the houses were so small, and I was terrified. And there, I wrote a whole write-up on it that I might post on the website, but I was terrified. You sit on the ledge,
mm-hmm.
and you wait for the wind cycles to die down, and you launch in between the wind cycles. All winds, just like sets of waves, have cycles, and there's a lull, and you launch at the lull.
Sure.
I'm standing there, and there are a lot of other ground crew making sure that I don't get blown off of this mountain backwards. And I basically aborted.
Oh.
I aborted 4 times, I believe.
Dang.
And on the 4th time, I was basically like, I'm either never going to do this again, and this is 100% true. I'm either never going to do this again or never going to do this again and waste my... I trained for a year for this moment.
Sure.
Or I go for it and let my training kick in and hopefully... Because I wasn't sure that my training was going to kick in.
Sure, yeah. That's a big jump.
Man. Yeah. And I literally had to make peace with the fact that if I screw this up, if I just royally fuck everything up, there is a decent chance that I'm going to kill myself.
Yeah.
Which is terrifying. So, but I got to the point where I'm like, look, I trained for this. I know what I'm doing in theory. And it seemed like, and my instructor, Andy, he's an awesome, awesome guy and an awesome instructor. He's been flying for like 42 years or whatever the hell.
Man.
Yeah. And he had more confidence in me than I had in myself. Like he was basically holding down my wing, like all nonchalantly, and now I'm shaking. And then, you know, the moment came and I made a decision and I jumped. I jumped and I flew, and it was one of the greatest experiences of my life. Terrifying. The whole time terrifying.
Right.
But I say this to everybody is that I like flying more than I hate heights. So it was still a really great experience. And obviously, a couple of years later, I'm still doing it. So that entire long story is sometimes it helps me in my job where, you know, I'm confident in something, but not so confident to just jump. And sometimes, especially in business, you just have to jump.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, we've seen a bunch of projects where we're like, I don't know, this project seems dodgy.
Yeah.
Or you know, or whatever. I don't think we can do this in the timeline they want. You know, I don't know if we'll be able to pull this off. I don't know. Me, you know, needing to make a decision, I just go with my gut and, you know, I kind of do things like, look, we've done this a long time. We know more than most people about design.
Yeah.
If there's anybody who could, I should say, if there's anybody who has a chance to pull it off, it's probably us.
Sure.
I wouldn't say I'm always 100%. I'm never 100%.
Yeah, no, that's impossible.
But essentially, when we get a project that's a little kind of like at the end of our limits in terms of timeline or things we've got to get done, are we able to deliver on time? Sometimes I take a deep breath and think about it for a second and I just jump.
Yeah.
We're going to do this. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to do it this time. We're going to schedule this. Ben, help me schedule this. You know, call this person, talk to this person. While you're doing that, I'm going to talk to this person. We're going to figure this out.
Yeah.
So that's the way it helps me. It helps me do scary shit knowing that I have the knowledge to do it. Still scary.
Yeah,
still but scary. But I have the knowledge.
Cool. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. So actually, you didn't talk to me about that question before you fired it off. That was good.
For sure.
Are you getting me because of the whole energy drink thing?
No.
So that's it for this episode. If you have any questions at all whatsoever, please follow me on Instagram. My handle is @IamHectorReal. That is @ the letter A, the letter M, Hector Real, all one word. And if you have any questions, go ahead and send me a DM. And if I can answer those questions in a couple sentences, I will. Otherwise, I will address those questions during a podcast episode. In addition to that, if you like artwork, you like design stuff, do check out our website, www.maroonvaultstudio.com. Again, maroonvaultstudio.com. We have all of our podcasts out there and most of our artwork.
Yeah.
All right. So once again, thanks for joining us. We will see you again in the next episode.
All right, guys. Later.